You may know my guest as the host of the new Ripley's Believe It or Not, Sam Axe in Burn Notice, or as Ash Williams in the Evil Dead series, the list goes on. Joining me by phone from his home in Oregon, actor and New York Times best-selling author Bruce Campbell. It's an honor and a privilege to welcome you to the program, Bruce.
Oh, I was in the neighborhood that I'd step in.
Well, let's start where it all began with Evil Dead in 1981, a B-movie horror film through New Line Cinema that since then has become a cult classic and one that absolutely terrified me as a child. When you and director Sam Raimi created this film, did you two have any idea that almost 40 years later, it would be still so well-loved?
I have to correct your timeline because everybody gets it wrong. It's actually 40 years this year. We filmed it in 1979. And it took 4 years to make, so that's why everyone has either 81 or 83. It's 79. That's the real number. It came out in 82 and 83. But so, yeah, this year, as we're celebrating internally among all the idiots who were there, this is our 40 year.
Wow.
So, no, we had no idea because we didn't think we would finish the movie. You know, we left Tennessee where we filmed it, completely underfunded, ran out of money, tail between our legs, and then over the next 3-4 years, just piecemealed that thing together. There was no slam dunk aspect to any of it, even to this day. It's not a slam dunk franchise. It's a little secret franchise. You know, there's no Taco Bell tie-in with this franchise. We did one. The hero is dead at the end of the first movie. We make a second movie, it bombs, so we went, wait, you know what? Maybe Ash shouldn't be dead. So we concocted a part two. Made that. That made money. Made another movie. You know, every time a movie would bomb, we would go back and do another Evil Dead movie, kind of. So there was not some George Lucas 3-movie plan or 8-movie plan or 9-movie plan. This was just something that fell off the truck as the first movie we, you know, wanted to make to get into the film business. We weren't really aficionados at horror, even. We thought, well, if we're going to do our first movie, let's make a horror movie because those are cheap. You don't have to have name actors or anything. So, you know, this all kind of came together in a really weird, herky-jerky way. And so fans, they've dug it. But thankfully, they never had to really try and keep track of it. They would all just rediscover the various Evil Dead as they came along, including the last TV show. So it's been a strange ride.
You've played in so many films and TV shows, and the list is too long to name here, but what was your favorite or most memorable role?
Those are tough because that's really for the pundits, you know. For me, sometimes the experiences were great, but the movie bombed or the TV show got canceled. And other times it's successful and everyone hates each other. Kind of a weird scenario. Like the best combination, there's probably, you know, a handful over the years. Burn Notice was a great one because it was it was nice to work on a hit show. I'd done random TV shows and Hercules and Xena. Those were hit syndication shows, but, you know, Burn Notice was like, it was the number one show on cable for a couple of years, and it was great, playing second fiddle, easy money, as they say. And then other little darling films sneak along. Bubba Hotep was fun. They have good staying power, good lasting ability. You know, I'm still touring with the Evil Dead movies. I'm going to go to the Royal Oak Music Theater to show Evil Dead 2 from 1986, so I don't know. I think people like the Evil Dead movies because they're just there's no heroic aspects to it. The lead guy, Ash, is just a schmo. He's captain of the schmoes. Doesn't really, you know, the first Evil Dead, he doesn't know anything. The second one, he's just sort of a jittery, like a veteran from a couple of war battles. And by the time Army of Darkness comes along, he's a trash-talking, ugly American. So it's a very strange character progression, too. It's nothing we track. You know, how can you track it over 40 years when you make something every 10 years?
Right. Well, you mentioned Bubba Hotep, and, you know, one of the things that your fans love so much about you is how different you are compared to most other actors, that you're willing to take a unique role like geriatric Elvis Presley in the movie Bubba Hotep.
Well, I feel sorry for guys like Tom Cruise because his reps wouldn't allow him to play that. They would never let him. They'd go, Tom, no one sees your face.
Right.
You can't do a movie where we can't see your face for the whole. You can do a couple of scenes where we don't see your face, but, you know. So I'm not sure if Tom feels sorry for me, but I feel sorry for Tom. Just a little bit.
What was your biggest influence growing up or in adulthood that kind of created and defined the Bruce Campbell that we know, that makes you so different than everyone else?
I can't answer that. I mean, that's too obtuse. But I had influences like everybody. My influences were all the old-time actors. I liked idiots like Bob Hope. You know, he was sort of the king of the one-liners. If you go back and look at vintage Bob Hope, not really the 1985 Texaco specials, but you go back to the 40s, and that guy was sharp as a tack and really funny. He created the persona of the idiot buffoon, the bragging moron, you know, I don't know. So Danny Kaye, performers like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I like the old-time movie actors, too. I like the Bogarts and the Spencer Tracys, and I think William Holden's my favorite actor. I like classic Hollywood. It influenced me more because I think I looked up to them as adults. Like today, all the actors are 23.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to be a kid to look up to them now.
If you're just joining me, I'm talking to Bruce Campbell, actor and New York Times best-selling author. In 2001, you released your autobiography of Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. Why did you feel it was so important to write about your experiences as a B-Movie actor?
Not so much me. It was more about the industry that I was in. I felt that we were very underrepresented in telling stories. Everybody's heard that they see the books about the famous, the Marlon Brandos, the Betty Davis, you know. There's always books about those people. But they don't have that many books about the B-movie world, and most people don't work in the A-movie industry. You know, most people are in B and C and D projects or cable television or local weather. You know, most of us are just not in the big leagues, so I felt that there aren't as many books about it, but we got to work harder for less money.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that we have just as valid, if not more valid, of a story to tell.
As you know, you have a huge fan base here in Kentucky. In 2017, when you had released the follow-up book to If Chins Could Kill, when you released the book titled Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, your book signing at Joseph Beth in Lexington brought a packed house. And in just a few days, you'll be arriving again in Lexington, but this time for Scarefest, the horror movie fan convention, and you're the main headliner, Bruce. Are you ready for Lexington?
Always. Lexington, you have to always make the rounds, and Lexington is always on the list. So this is with the trade paperback now. I'm sort of touring. I'm appearing at this convention, but the new book will be there for the first time. It's the first event where we're going to have the books available. It's the trade paperback, which is technically the cheap version, so fans should be happy about that. Now they can get the cheap version of the book. And, of course, you can't just put out the book. You have to write, you know, 50 new pages. So there's all kinds of new stuff in there. There's a whole essay about the death of Ash, you know, it's a Requiem for Ash edition.
Mm-hmm. And it's not released until September 17th, so that they come see you at Scarefest this weekend on the 14th and 15th.
Yeah, they get an early copy.
Mm-hmm.
We've had great length, great difficulty. We tormented the publisher to try and accommodate these folks. So it'll be available right where they would get photographs to sign or whatever. It'll be available.
Just for clarity for anyone out there who may not understand the chin reference, and since this is radio, would you describe the chin thing?
Yeah, none of it was my idea. A lot of reviewers would just say the square-jawed Bruce Campbell, the lantern-jawed Bruce Campbell. They would mention the jaw thing a lot, and then other people started doing that. So, you know, the first book was, you know, If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. And then this was just a follow-up, so this is Hail to the Chin. It's just sort of a random nickname-y sort of thing that developed, none of which I encourage.
In this new version, you have, quote, even more confessions.
That's right.
What are some of the topics that you're going to share with us?
Why Ash vs. Evil Dead was canceled, you know, all about sort of the making of it, the death of it. A little more in-depth. A lot of times people never hear why a show got canceled,
mm-hmm.
or what led up to it, why it was canceled. Sometimes shows are canceled mid-season. They're canceled in the off-season. So it was just a chance to explain what's going on, to myself, too.
You say that if these autobiographies were a movie, that the first book of Chins Could Kill would be Act 1, that Hail to the Chin would be Act 2. So that only teases me to believe that we must have an Act 3.
Final Confessions. Yeah, The Final Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. That'll be about 15 more years from now. I'll be pushing, 75, 76. It'll be about time to sit on the rocker and write The Final Confessions.
And we all have to sit here and wait for 15 more years for the finale.
Well, you got to gather more crap. You have to get more experience, more movies under your belt. So we'll see what happens over the next 15 years.
Well, for years you've promoted on your social media the act of lollygagging, which
That's right. Kind
of the find your Zen meditation moment the Bruce Campbell way. Tell us more about that and how you developed.
It's the easiest thing in the world. It's called walking. I just call it lollygagging. it's an undefined walk, though. There's no goal. That's why it's called lollygagging. Because walking is like you look at your watch, you check your heart meter, you check, have I walked the right amount of distance? You're not doing any of that. You're walking with your dog or whatever. Some people think it's you're at home with your feet up watching TV. That's not lollygagging. That's being lazy. And some people think it's sitting with a beer looking at a nice view. No, that's drinking. This is lollygagging. This is you're taking an unplanned walk. It must be outside. It can't be at work. Can't be at your house. No alcohol involved. Nothing. And no plan. And so people have started taking pictures of what they consider to be lollygagging. And then I'm bold enough to sort of grade it, false, bad, wrong, according to my own random rules. But basically, all it's doing is it's encouraging the act of walking, which thankfully on social media, no one will come back and sue me for telling them to go walking.
Right.
You never told me that walking would kill me. it's just I'm promoting walking. That's all it is. And bicycling is also lollygagging. You can swim and lollygag. And there's a lot of forms, but it's deconstructed. It's active inactivity.
Yeah, just as long as there's no set destination.
No. And it's not sitting in one place either. You don't even have to take a picture of your feet. For some reason, people started taking picture of their feet, to prove that they're actually there in the shot. I don't need that. Just show me where you went.
And then you'll let them know how they're doing with it.
I will grade them very indignantly.
So how can people find out more about your newest book and how to meet you at Scarefest?
Go there. Go to the website. Literally just Google Scarefest. It'll come up. And the one thing I really recommend, read the rules. Read the fine print about tickets, where you get them, the whole VIP thing, how do you get your picture with, Michael Rooker or any of the cool Walking Dead guys, whoever's going to be there, Do your research, and wear comfortable shoes. That's another key thing. If you haven't been to one of these things, it's a big venue with concrete floors. Maybe they roll out red carpet for you. Who knows? But comfortable shoes, and dress up. Either dress nice for these photo ops. They pay money, good money for these photo ops with their favorite actor. So ditch the basketball shorts, Mm-hmm. Maybe leave the Crocs at home. And put on a shirt with a collar. I don't know. Call me crazy. So I like to dress up myself, and I encourage people to, bring props, dress in a dumb outfit. This is the only place you'll never get made fun of for your geekness is at these conventions. So they're really fun. They're very kid-friendly, too. I won't even insult your kid. I mean, I will a little bit if the kid's a brat. But these are all very, very fun. They might be horror or sci-fi leaning, but none of this will do anything that'll torment your child. So bring the kids.
Bruce Campbell, actor and author of the upcoming Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, Requiem for Ash edition, out September 17th. And you can meet him and purchase a copy of his book this Saturday and Sunday, the 14th and 15th, at Scarefest in Lexington. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bruce.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And a big shout out to all of the fine NPR listeners who are very classy people.